There are really no words to describe the unbelievable irresponsibility of the tech industry in this case. This is a 100% copycat event from the Christchurch murders, from the Halle murders, where the killer writes a manifesto, as you said, motivated by right-wing extremism, accelerationist ideas. Everyone knows after COVID, they have become stronger, they have become more violent, and Twitch is not able to remove the videos for 48 hours. It makes the killer, whose name I'm not going to mention, an 18-year-old idiot, into a hero in his own warped social circles. It re-traumatizes the victims. It traumatizes others who stumble on the video. And after the Christchurch call, after years of working with Interpol and what is now called the industry standard, the incident protocol, which was supposed to take care industry-wide of exactly this scenario, again, everything goes as wrong as it has done in the Christchurch call, the Christchurch mass shooting years ago. This is not a failure of the industry. This is now deliberate. No one can say things go wrong after such a long time and so many international organizations, from the Security Council to Interpol to Europol to several governments trying to get a handle on this. And still the industry keeps failing us. And it's really, I don't know how to describe this.
There's really, as I mentioned earlier, not a whole lot you can say about this that you haven't said already. And you have to wonder at some point what it's going to take, short of taking the ability of these organizations to work away to deal with this problem. But that's something I guess we dig into further another day. But looking at what took place in Buffalo, what have you learned about the suspect?
Look, I mean, it is a classic right-wing extremist case. The guy, so to explain, right-wing extremism is a white or what you call domestic terrorism in the United States, or REMV, racially and ethnically motivated extremism, has a lot of sub-ideologies. Now, this is one of the sub-ideologies which actually has a base narrative that pretty much everyone in that whole space subscribes to, is the great replacement, i.e. the replacement of whatever you define the European, the white race, by others, migrants, and 11 of the victims were African-Americans, by migrants or people who look other than us. You know, in one country, it's Muslims, in other countries, it's African-Americans in the United States. So the subcategory of this is what is called accelerationists, who basically say this is unavoidable. The society is going to break down because of this replacement. We have to actively do something to further the breakdown to get out of this crisis. Now, as you can imagine, if you have this kind of conspiratorial element to it as well, then of course the COVID crisis was the big wake-up call for you and your warped ideological counterparts to say, now the crisis has come to the fore. Now we have to do something. So it is absolutely clear in Europe and in North America that these groups have gotten stronger, haven't felt motivated by the COVID pandemic, and that they are more dangerous. Yet we do have an 18-year-old guy buying weapons legally, writing a manifesto exactly like the Christchurch shooter, referencing him in the manifesto, and then go out and live stream his killing spree in Buffalo. It's like 100% the same scenario. This was now not a mosque like in Christchurch, but a shopping area, so harder to secure. This is a problem that I want to come to when we talk about the California incident. Harder to secure. So, you know, you can put it down to, okay, security forces can't look at every idiot that there is around, but then at least we should limit the damage afterwards. And the damage afterwards, apart from the direct victims and their poor families, is social media exacerbating, amplifying this horrible thing by not being able to remove a video, regardless of what format it is. My organization is able to find a video in whatever format since 2015. So it's not a complicated software. We as a small organization can afford that software. So no one can tell me a company like Twitch is not able to do this in 2022 when it's software from 7-8 years ago. This is, I mean, I'm livid on this case. There is no words to say anything about this.
Yeah, I hear you. So looking at the situation in California and the one in Dallas, you see any similarities, copycat possibility here? Because they all happen within a span of a couple of days.
Yeah, obviously, you know, any bigger incident triggers then other incidents. And it looks really like the last pushing over the edge was this Buffalo incident. A couple of things about the Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church attack. This could have gone really horribly wrong. I mean, the man, 68 in this case, had, of course, hatred of Asians. That's all himself being actually born and grown up in Taiwan. Goes into the church, locks the doors, puts super glue in the keyholes, plants firebombs, and luckily someone sacrificed himself and tackled them and got killed in the process. And so we only have one dead and a couple of wounded, but this could have been a mass casualty event if there wouldn't have been one very brave citizen sacrificing his life.
Yeah, and then in Dallas, Koreatown's connection?
Look, this is a guy who just goes into a barbershop and shoots Asian women. So obviously, I think once something is triggered, unfortunately, and because this got so amplified in Buffalo, this will trigger copycat attacks, right? Halle was a copycat attack on Christchurch. It just took a couple of years between Halle and Christchurch because it's much more difficult to get weapons in Germany, which, of course, you know, you would have to ask yourself if there's a mental health issue clearly involved in the urban Taiwanese Presbyterian Church who bought his handguns legally and apparently had a rampant hatred for Asians. I mean, how is this individual allowed to buy legally weapons, right? So yes, unfortunately, I would think that the amplifying effect now absolutely clearly led to further death and destruction in America within days, showing that social media can kill if they don't take care.
Yeah. So I don't even know if there's a question that I can ask you about what the nation or indeed the world does with this moving forward. But
they have to be held liable for this. There is no other way. There is too much people dead in genocide that we got promoted on the Rohingyas by Facebook, Christchurch, the Islamist terrorist attacks that were put out on social media. This is a service provider. This is not about free speech. They decide what you see, they decide what you hear, they decide what you read. So they curating this like any other service. As long as they're touching the data, they have to be held liable. They're making a lot of money for this. There is money to spare for some really painful libel suits, which then, even from an internal perspective, give them the commercial justification to actually have compliance, not the appearance of compliance, an actual counterterrorism program, not a government communications program, which is what is running right now, quite obviously, because this is a technical failure of a problem that was solved 7 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Hans, thank you very much for this. I will ask you one final thing. The average person, what do we do with what we've learned, what we've seen yet again, moving into the future?
Public pressure. I mean, the view towards the industry has to change. I think there is movement both on the Democratic and the Republican side for very different reasons. It just needs a perception. The narrative that this is about freedom of speech and freedom of expression is wrong because it's not free. And as soon as the public understands that, and there was for a brief moment a couple of years ago, advertisers saying, we not want to do business with Facebook at this point. When there was rampant racial hate speech in America, it became a reputation problem. So the average person can do whatever you can to talk to your congressman, to your senator, if you can, to say, we need to do something. Advertisers who actually are responsible for giving the billions that this industry does to the industries to sell their products also should think long and hard whether they want to be connected to an industry that is on this level irresponsible. I mean, this is now no longer explainable with technical difficulties, as I said, years ago. And if the advertisers say we are no longer willing to sell our products, then the industry will also change. I don't think that advertisers have the same sustainability to stay away than a regulation would do, but it would at least would be a wake-up call.
Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. Thank you very much, Hans.
Thank you.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project, JJ Green, WTOP News.